John chapter 3 from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. We know the Lord had a blessing to that reading from his own precious truth. The pastor didn't tell you that he didn't stay very long because the preaching was too hot for him. So we thank him for his welcome tonight, and it's lovely being with you. And we trust that as I relate how the Lord saved me, that if you're one of his, then you can just go down the lane that you came down, or go down the road that you have came, in order that we all might be blessed and encouraged. When I played for Linfield, if we won at Windsor Park, they put a one. Or if we went away to Glenavon and won all the time, they put a two. But if it was a draw, they put an X. Nobody had won. Honours were even. And tonight, some of you are playing at home, but you haven't got saved yet. Some of you don't come to this place, so you're playing away. But you're not saved yet. And you're going to make a decision. Because in gospel services, there are no exits. You can't say nobody has won. You see, if you're not saved, you're on the Broadway. And if you don't trust Christ, then you're going back the same way on the Broadway. You have made a decision to go your own way, to do your own thing. You have resisted his approach. You have rejected his appeal. And you're going back the same way. But maybe tonight, by the grace of God, you'll realize that. And you'll get on the victory side. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the challenge to you tonight is, who is on the Lord's side? Not what church you belong to, or where you go, or where you attend, but are you on the Lord's side? That's the important thing. For our Lord Jesus is the captain of our salvation. So I trust and pray that all of us tonight, without exception, might go out on the victory side, following, seeking to serve, and to live for the Lord Jesus. I was brought up in Princes Street. That's George Wiley. I heard a voice but saw no man. And then, of course, we have Mr. McCulloch over here on the left. And then some of the boys in the church had to go below the bridge to get their wives, because it's a wonderful place down over the bridge. And that's where I was brought up. And the interesting thing is that Sunday morning we were sent along to the Presbyterian Church, and godly Sunday school teachers told me it's wonderful being able to recite the catechism, but you need to receive Christ as your own and personal Saviour. In the afternoon we went down to Lanerne, where the Church of Ireland had their Sunday school, and godly Sunday school teachers told me exactly the same. It's marvellous being able to recite the Apostles' Creed, but you need to accept Christ. And then I went to the Brethren, And of course, they told me exactly the same. Whether the Presbyterian, the Church of Ireland, or the Brethren, the message was still the same, you need Christ. And of course, the amazing thing is that I knew the way. Repent and be converted. I knew the wonder of salvation. That Jesus Christ loved me personally and died for me. And of course I realized the welcome I would receive. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But then, Billy, why did you not come down the way? But you did not realize the wonder and receive this welcome. Why have you not? You know the way of salvation. You know why Jesus came, why he went to the cross, why he shed his blood. No other means, no other way, no other remedy apart from the precious blood. And you know the wonder that he loved you and gave himself for you. And you know the welcome that you would receive. Well, the reason I didn't at that time come was I thought when I'm a lot older, then I'll come. Because I thought, no, my great desire is to become a footballer. And it might jeopardize that. But when I'm old, then I'll turn. Now, I never thought for 1 minute that any desire for spiritual things could leave you. I never felt that God by his Spirit might stop speaking. I never contemplated the fact that Christ might come again. And I never took it into my head that I might die prematurely. Never thought of these things. Tell me, when are you going to get saved? Are you thinking like I thought? And so that was it. I wanted to be a footballer. Then, of course, once I got 13, 14, that was the church forgot about. Spiritual things put to the one side. No longer any thought or time or regard for the things of God. And so I signed for Portadown. And we used to meet, a lot of us, on a Sunday morning. And one of the boys said, you've been picked to play for Ireland. I said, what that? Because I've been playing the previous day and we got beaten 11-1. No, I wasn't a goalkeeper. I was a centre forward. And I nearly got a job at Cadbury's because they were looking for a soft centre. And they said, you've been picked to play for Ireland at football against Scotland. Could hardly believe it. But there I was. And I was all excited, playing for Ireland against Scotland at junior level, I suppose the equivalent of the under-21s. And went down that day. And it's a good job there were no substitutes in them days. God, I wouldn't have been telling you this story. I wouldn't have got on again after half-time. I was hopeless. Hopeless. Even worse than that team up. Oh, no. And I came into the pavilion at half-time, and nobody bothered with me. Nobody said a word to me. Nobody said, son, there's only one way you can go, and that's up. Nobody come near me. And I was sitting there stewing in my own juice, thinking, I wish somebody would say, but nobody said a thing. Nobody said a thing. But amazingly, I went out the second half, and the ball hit me 3 times, and I scored 3 goals. And I couldn't get into the pavilion, all kissing and slobbering all over you. But I couldn't get in, I couldn't get in. 45 minutes prior to that, I was waiting for somebody to come to give me, there was no word. 45 minutes later, they were all over me. You know, I have a friend tonight. I hope he's your friend. Whether you're down or whether you're up, He's a friend who loveth at all times, a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, a friend who loved me so much that he went to the place called Calvary to die for me. Hope he's your friend. Hope he's your friend. You see, when I played, I had this wee fella that I tried to imitate and emulate, a wee fella called Davy Cochran from Portadown. And when we got the ball out around the back, they said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Davy Cochran. I'm Davy Cochran." And I used to run like him and play like him and kick like him. And I took his name, tried to be like him, knew all about him. But if he had come up to town in Lurgan, he would have passed me. Because I didn't know him. Even though I took his name, tried to be like him, knew all about him, did not know him. Do you know my friends? You might know all about him. That he came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died at the place called Calvary. After 3 days, was raised again, ascended into heaven, and one day he's coming back again. Maybe even try to emulate his example. Kind and loving and gracious and tender and true, but you have never been introduced to him. You've never put your hand in his hand. Said, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm so pleased that you died for me. I want to trust you." And so that was me on the run to stardom. Playing in the amateur team, we won the British Amateur Championship. Then I signed for Linfield. They're not a bad team, you know. And so they were the top team. And I used to play with Portadown, and this fella Sam used to stand behind the goals and give me all the encouragement. And then I signed for Linfield. And Sam stood behind the same goals and called me all the names under the sun. But it was rather amazing. I was taking a mission in Portadown, and who should come in? Only Sam. And he was going out. He said, Billy, I'm sorry for some of the names I called you." "Oh, well, that's all right, Sam." He said, "Billy, could you give me one reason why you left Portadown?" Says, "Sam, I'll give you 800 reasons." "Oh, you left for the money?" "Aye, I left for the money. I bought a house for my mother. I moved up from the Wileys and the McCulloughs." "But I think Joe and Georgie have got on that well that they've gone up higher than I am today. But bought the house for 400. We were home last year. I saw the same house on the market. 140,000. Said to Brenda, "I wish we had held on to that." "I thought it was a, millionaire. Thought it was a millionaire. No thought of God. Sure, I've got where I am by my own ingenuity, by my own ability. I don't need God." First season, very successful. Very, very successful. Just the start of the second season. I think it was about August. About 8 or 9 of us used to chum around together. And one night we had nowhere to go and it was raining one Sunday night. One of the boys says, "We're going out to the Baptist tonight." I said, "What? We're going to the Baptist." So we all trooped into the Baptist, and all these boys, apart from me, were all teddy boys, you know, and Tommy Gesson was looking. They know we weren't coming to get married because there was no girls with us. But I'm sure they wondered, what are these fellas all doing in? Then Pastor Mullen came in. They began preaching. I thought, this is terrific. I've never seen anything like this. Somebody excited about the Savior. Somebody enthusiastic in their preaching. I'd never seen this. I hope if you're saved, you're enthusiastic. But if you're saved, you're zealous for the things of God. And this gripped me. Don't know what he preached, but you know something? You see these Sunday school teachers in the Presbyterian and in the Church of Ireland and in the Brethren, the coffees and the turkentongues, all that they told me come flooding back again. The way of salvation, the wonder of salvation, the welcome you'll receive, the welcome you'll receive. And sitting there, I realized, that's the answer. That's the answer. But just like the rich young ruler, I thought, the price is too high, the price is too high, the price is too high. And I went out, still on the Broadway. I thought I'd put an axe. Nobody had got the victory, but the devil had got the victory. He always does if you haven't got saved. And so next Sunday, the boy says, where are you going? I said, no, where I'm going. I'm going down to hear that man again. And this time, they put us in the front row. And every time I looked up, I thought the preacher was looking down at me. And I was thinking, I'm bad, but these fellows are 10 times worse than I am. Why don't you look at them? But he wasn't looking at me at all. This was conviction. And everything he seemed to say applied to me. I thought somebody had told him I was in the meeting. Everything he said seemed to be pointing at me. Of course, I didn't know that the Bible said, I have called thee by name, you're mine. I have called thee by name, you're mine. I didn't know that. I didn't know that God took a personal interest in you. I didn't know that he would come and speak to your heart. I didn't know he would come and tap on your shoulder. I didn't know that. I thought somebody had told him. And then Pastor Mullen used to come to the end and he used to say, will you come? Will you do it now? Oh, and what a struggle. What a struggle was within a wee voice saying, that's the way. But another voice saying, no, no, it's not for you. Not just yet. Not just yet. This tremendous struggle, this war the Bible talked about in my members. Have you had that? You had that struggle, that fight within. And then Pastor Mullen said, amen. And when I was going out, I said to my pal, the next time I go back there, I'm going to get saved the next time. And of course, the devil was rubbing his hands the next time. That's good thinking, Billy. That's good thinking the next time. You see, if the Bible says today, the devil says tomorrow. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. The devil says, the next time, the next time. I wonder, have you been in that situation? So near to conversion, so near to salvation, but you said the next time. And sad, you're still on that road. I want to tell you something, it's been a hard road. Been a difficult road. Maybe Jesus is speaking into your heart tonight. And he's saying, like he said to those in Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, and you would not. Therefore, your house is left desolate. Jesus could have saved you from the tears, from the trials, from the troubles that you have faced. But it saved you from the heartache and the heartbreak. A broken life and a broken home. It would have saved you from all that, but you would not. You said the next time, the next time. How sad. How sad. But the amazing thing was the devil made sure I never got back again. Never got back. But then, it was a holiday from work, September time. and decided to go down to the cinema in Belfast to see Mario Lanza, the student prince. If you're nearly 100, you'll remember that. And I love singing. Can't sing, but I love singing. A wee bit like the pastor. And I was really enjoying it. Really thrilled, really thrilled. And then he started singing, "I'll walk with God from this day on. His hand I lean upon, this is my prayer. My humble plea, may the Lord be ever with me." And sitting there in that cinema, thank God the word of God is not bound. I realized that's the answer. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk with God. And so on the road home, I said to my friend, "I have something to tell you. What's that?" "I'm going to get saved tonight. I'm going to get saved tonight." "You're what?" "I'm going to get saved." "What about the good times you're having? What about this, that, and the other? What about the football?" "Oh," I said, "nothing matters, only one thing, peace with God. Nothing matters, only forgiveness and getting right with Him." Now, I didn't know that Amos said that two can't walk together except to be agreed. I didn't know that. So if I was going to walk with God, I had to agree what He said about me. And of course, He says that I'm a sinner, because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Had to agree what He said about His Son. The pastor prayed it. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. It's only in the Lord Jesus. And I had to agree the way to come to Him. I had to repent and be converted, turn around, go His way. And that night, at my own bedside, I give my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus. That night I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary head, lay down thy soul upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and praise God, hallelujah, He has made me glad. Oh. Just then there was a trumpet voluntary from heaven. Marvelous. Just then the room was filled with light. Just then I had all these funny feelings running up and down my back. It was marvelous. Nothing. No funny feelings. No trumpet voluntary. No lights from heaven. Bible says, being justified by faith, not feelings. Saved because I just had to take Jesus at His word. Just had to realize what He done for me. And the strength of what He accomplished for me at the cross, what He said to me in the scriptures. Believe it, saved. Get up the next morning, no different. No funny feelings, no nothing like that. But I knew one thing. Jesus has no silent friends. Jesus has no secret followers. You got to be open. You got to be open about it. And in those days I worked in the optical. And I thought, how am I going to tell all these people that I've got saved? And they called over the news of the world. I said, "I want you to promise me something. You'll not tell another soul what I'm going to tell you." He says, "I promise you, Billy." He thought maybe I was going to tell him I was getting transferred to Manchester United or Arsenal or one of these teams. He said, "I got saved last night." He was away like a rocket. You could see him going. And the people had to pass me. Get to the canteen, they were all going. Do you know the amazing thing? They weren't pointing at my head. Pointed at their own. They were the headers. They were the headers. I had a fellow over from England. And they took him round the optical when we were at the college. And he was amazed. These unsaved men were telling him the gospel. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. And he says, they know it inside out and yet they're not saved. I wonder, when you look at others, believers, do you put the finger to the head? A header, a header. I got gone in with my hair red, white and blue, or green, white and gold. I said, boy, Billy, you're some fella. But they get saved. A header. They were the headers. Knowing the truth, knowing the gospel, knowing the way, knowing the wonder, knowing the welcome, and still rejecting. So that was it. I hadn't told them in the house yet. Hard to tell them in the house that you've got saved. And so I went home that night. I said, now, I'm going to give thanks for the meal. My mother met me on the steps and said, son, we've got visitors. You're in the back kitchen. We never even had a front kitchen, but it was in the back kitchen. And so I couldn't do that. So then I thought, I know a Christian fella, and I went to him because I knew he had some records. And but I didn't know that Christians kept you half the night. And I was coming home with these records under my arm in the middle of the night, slipping in. And I know I couldn't put the records on. But you know, it's rather amazing that my mother and the sisters would know I was saved because of the records I was going to play. Would yours know that? Records that you play? Would they know that you're a Christian? And so that night, my mother and Patsy and Elsie were sitting there. And they come in, and they were having a wee bit of a confab, and a wee bit of a giggle. I said, what are you laughing at? My mother said, I hear you've got saved. You're right, mother. And my mother, very cultured, said, what scared you? But this was it. Thought I'd got a fright. I got a fright, all right. God, by his Spirit, come to speak to you. That's frightening. Frightening if you resist and reject. That he could leave you. And then, had to go down to Windsor Park. No silent friends, no secret followers. Had to tell them. And kicking the ball around, and I missed it. One of the boys let out a mouthful. Well, I could let out a mouthful too, but it didn't be like a knife. So I called the manager over. I said, boss, I've got saved. I'll tell them, Billy. I'll tell them. So into the pavilion, last one in. I've never been to Madame Tussauds. Well, understand what it must be like, because the boys were sitting. Couldn't believe it. That I'd got wonderfully and eternally saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. 3 months afterwards, I felt the call of God. And I was playing in the final of the Ulster Cup. And I said, Lord, if I've got a good game today, that'll be it. At the end of the season, I quit. I'm going to Bible college. Going to serve the Lord Jesus. And so we played. I scored a couple of goals. And the next morning in the Daily Mail, big black headlines. This was Kennedy's Cup final. I could hardly believe it. I could hardly believe it. This was Kennedy's Cup final. What did you pray yesterday, Billy? If you have a good game, you're quitting it, you're going to college, you're going to be a missionary or what, there it is in black and white. At the end of the season, that was me, off to serve the Lord Jesus. Been serving Him for over 50 years. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Do you see that fellow Sam talked about earlier? Sam was in the hospital and he sent for me. And we got talking, and long spiritual things. I said, Sam, one time I played for Lurgan Tech and we got into the final of the cup. And it was the first time that the cameras were there and all that. I said, oh, I'm going to have to score. But there was no likelihood of it. But here, we got a penalty kick. And I said, boys, I'm going to take it, boys. And they put the ball down and came and kicked over the bar. Oh, over the bar. You know, Sam, I felt like running after the referee and saying, hey, mister, give me another chance. Give me another chance, mister. But he said, I'm sorry, son. You only get the one chance. Sam grabbed me by the hand. He said, Billy, I mightn't get another chance. I want to give my heart to the Lord Jesus. How many opportunities have you had? How often have you heard the same story? How many times have you sat under the sound of the gospel? How many times? And still go out. Still go out. Resisting and rejecting. Oh, this might be your last opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. But come to Him tonight. He's waiting to forgive, willing to forgive, longs to forgive, delights in mercy. Loved you so much. He went to the place called Calvary to die for you personally. Shed His precious blood in order it might be cleansed and forgiven. Why don't you come to Him tonight? Come to Him tonight. It's not an easy road, but it's the only road. It's the only road. How marvelous to have such a friend. We will never leave nor forsake. We will never let go of your hand. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. But this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And He loves you. He died for you. Mr. Mullen used to say, will you come? Will you do it now? Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for all the help given. Anything of self, Lord, just remove it. But everything from You, Lord, just by Your Spirit back at home. Maybe in the quietness You need to come to trust the Lord Jesus. Just come like I did, saying, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Thank You for dying for me. Come into my heart and my life and make me a real Christian. And help me from this night to live for You. Oh, Lord, we pray that You'll draw, that You have drawn. That there'll be those who'll go out on the victory side tonight. Who'll go out with Thee and not without Thee. Bless Your word to all our hearts. Glorify Your lovely name. for Jesus' sake. Amen. The hymn 156. I would have loved someone that night to be beside me, just showing me the way of salvation, even though I knew it. Maybe tonight we could help you to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. God has challenged your heart. He's really spoken to you, then don't go out. Have a word with the pastor or myself at the door. And get on the Lord's side tonight. Get on the victory side tonight. Have the Lord Jesus as your captain.